The odds have got to be in our favour, right? They've got to.
No, that's how the bookies make money.
They've got to be in our favour. We've been doing this for nearly, what, this has got to be the fourth year?
Welcome. It is season week, and this is the Long Snapper podcast. Adam here in the hosting seat, as usual. I don't know how that happened about 4 years ago, but here I am. Rich is here. Hi, Rich.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, all right, all right. Pat's here. Hi, Pat.
I've never heard the term season week before, so I'm excited to find out what it means.
Is look, so you come up with a better intro, which wouldn't be hard. Mark is here. Hey, Mark.
Hello, you.
Hello. Last but not least, Russell Milsom. How the devil are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's nice to be podcasting in some way, shape or form.
Well, you're certainly not going to be doing any mall over, are you? Or are you?
Let's probably not, is the answer to that.
To be honest, no.
I mean, there's nothing coming up in the rugby world that's worthy of any discussion in the next few weeks, is there?
No. Nothing at all.
So, but basically, it's come down to England the shit. So, and the game's gone.
England the shit. They're coached by a moron. Yeah, game rugby in general is now a shadow of its former self. So, yeah, thanks.
Join us next week.
There you have. A nice 15 seconds summary of all the news and views of this week's rugby action, all with a West Country accent. There you go. Rich tried to do it last week, and then Russ then came on WhatsApp later and corrected him about most of his facts.
I didn't ever claim to have any actual insight or knowledge. I was hoping Russ would actually help with, you know, telling me what the fuck was going on.
I tried.
It's just like this show, really.
Well, we should say we are five experts. We are 2023 experts, because that is a thing. We are not experts. We are, you know who we are. Let's get on with it. We have a conference to preview in the NFC. We are also going to tell you about what we're doing with the Steve Brains Anytime Touchdown Corner bet this year. Basically, laziness has caught up with us, and we're going to do like a season long thing, but we will come to that. But yeah, some NFC stuff to preview. If you listen to our AFC show last week, it's far more relevant, far more interesting. This is the shit conference, and this is where it just feels like a chore.
Far more interesting if you skip to about 25 minutes in where that actually started.
Yes, unless you really want to hear about Trey Lance for what seemed like forever. Although, as Greg said, largely enjoyable.
I know, what a review. That was wonderful. Lovely to hear.
Is that one for the billboard? Largely enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's already the Twitter description. So I've updated that.
Yeah, largely enjoyable, loosely NFL-based podcast. Yeah.
3.5 stars. Glad I left the house.
Glad I left the house. Okay. All right. We will kick off. We're going to do... This feels like... I feel a bit weird that there isn't a quiz. But the quizzes will come back. We'll do some quizzes.
Whoa. No quiz.
No quiz this week.
Russ is off. Yeah, I mean, that's all I'm here for.
It's all I signed up for is a quiz.
No, not this time. We've got too much. We've got too much to do, Russ.
Oh yeah, it's the NFC. About that. Sorry.
Yeah. <it's okay. laughs> Anything can happen.
Anyway, that was the NFC.
Right. This is the NFC in one sentence form. So let's do some one sentence season previews for the NFC teams. We kick off with the Arizona Cardinals.
Welcome to the 2024 NFL Draft. The Arizona Cardinals are now on the clock.
They might be in some competition. The Atlanta Falcons. J- Just keep signing those ex-Tennessee Titans players, Atlanta. It's definitely a winning strategy. Carolina Panthers.
A somewhat questionable offense, which needs time to gel, and a decent defense gives the Panthers an outside shot at the playoffs due to the relative weakness of their division.
This is going to be a recurring conversation, isn't it? Chicago Bears.
An enigma of a franchise that could win the division or finish with a top five draft pick. Much rests on the continued improvement of Justin Fields, who could be a breakout star.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Two of the best three teams in the entire conference are in this division. I expect them to make the playoffs easily.
I'm very sure of that. The Detroit Lions. Come on, Detroit. This is finally your time. The bookies' favourites for the NFC North? Sounds bonkers to me. The Green Bay Packers.
In the words of Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Well, in Green Bay, turns out it's quite a lot. Fascinating due to their mystery, we simply have no idea what we're going to see out of the Packers this year.
Put some effort into that. That's one of the worst one sentence previews we've ever had.
Thank you, mate.
Should have stopped after the gag.
Yeah. The Los Angeles Rams.
I've seen puddles with more depth. It'll be a miracle if they achieve a winning record, and I couldn't be more delighted with this development.
Love your hate for the Rams. The Minnesota Vikings.
More NFC North question marks for a Vikings team that's perennially underwhelmed and should again be expected to challenge. Can they actually put on a deep playoff run in a weak conference this time?
The New Orleans Saints.
Not more than a couple of years ago, this division featured Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. This year, we've got Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, the rookie, I can't remember his name, and Desmond Ridder. That's how far this conference, this division has gone. Just the Saints shade it.
It's Bryce Young, right?
Doesn't matter.
There we go.
None of it matters.
It's bad, bad, and this, it, that preview is as bad as this division.
The New York Giants.
Last season, the Giants won a playoff game despite having no recognisable wide receivers. This year, they aim to go one better with no recognisable wide receivers, but also Darren Waller.
The Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to use this sentence to announce that I'm over the whole AJ Brown thing. We're good, AJ. Go nuts this year. I'm going to be the bigger person, because it's certainly not you, you prick. The San Francisco 49ers.
Maybe the only roster capable of challenging the Eagles for the NFC's number one seed. A lot will depend on if Brock Purdy can maintain his rookie season form now that opponents know just who the hell he is.
Seattle Seahawks.
Fuck's sake, they're going to make the playoffs again, aren't they?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Another team hoodwinked into starting Baker Mayfield as QB1. It's going to be a long, hard season for Bucs fans.
And finally, the Washington Commanders.
They go into the season with Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell in the centre. Take the bones out of that.
There are our one-sentence previews for the NFC, and you can just hear the disdain in almost every single one of those.
There's so many that are like, oh god, this division's shit, isn't it?
Well, with that in mind, if you recall last week we did 10 minutes on each division. I'm going to try that again. If we don't fill some of the 10 minutes, then I think we hold back the right to just move on.
Adam, you're trying to pretend like this is a podcast not built on far too much chat about really bad teams.
That's true. We'll see what happens. I have got my little timer gadget, if you remember, and it's loading, but it is proper professional. So we're going to kick off with the NFC East, and you'll see a little timer in my screen. We're already starting. So the NFC East, easily the best division in the conference, I would say. And that's a bit annoying, because I like to hate the NFC East. It doesn't get enough attention, generally, in the media, does it? Well, so Eagles, Cowboys, I think you could maybe accept Washington. You could argue that you might have three teams from that division in the playoffs.
I would say it would be, if it was going to be three, I would pick the Giants over the Commanders.
Yeah, yep. I would probably agree. But the Commanders, you mentioned it in your preview, Russ. They're probably more than the quarterback away, but the quarterback is an issue. Where you've got half the fans of the league probably Googling their likely starter, it's not an ideal spot to be in.
Well, it turns out even the head coach was kind of Googling him after he said recently in the last week or so that when he played week 18 at the end of the regular season, and he was like, it dawned on him, he was like, oh, I wish we'd played this guy more. Turns out he's good. Well, you're the one who gets to see him in practice, pal. I think the Commanders have actually got a reasonably decent roster, especially that defense, that the back and the front four on their defensive line is superb. But quarterback's going to hold them back. I don't think offensively they're going to be anywhere near as good, and they happen to be in a division that's by far the best in the NFC, and just on strength of schedule, they'll struggle. I see them having a losing record comfortably.
We seem to be going worst to first in this conversation. It's just the way it goes. The New York Giants, like, I can't, like, the head coach, what's his name, Mark? Help me. Brian Daboll. He is the most impressive thing about that franchise for me. And he's the entire reason they became a playoff team from, well, just not being fancied a year ago. I can't take Danny Penny's seriously.
Well, the issue with the Giants is they've been perennially shit for quite some time. Saquon burst onto the scene a few years ago as a rookie, made them look somewhat creditable. Then he disappeared for 2 years through injury and then reappeared last year out of nowhere and quite literally took everyone by surprise. And yes, so much rests on if he can continue that form to be well finished off in this division. It is almost entirely based on Saquon Barkley.
The thing for me, this Giants franchise, with what they've done with their quarterback situation, where they've tied themselves to a guy who is really no better than okay at best, is that this feels very much like the Stafford Lions, where they'll be stuck in that thing of, the roster's got decent amount of talent. The QB is just about serviceable, where he's good enough that you don't want to get rid of him for someone that you've got no idea what they're like, but you're also having to massively overpay him. And you just end up in this consistent, like, somewhere around 500 thing with better teams in your division, finishing third all the time and just never making the playoffs.
Yeah, and also not being bad enough to get decent draft picks to replace him.
Exactly.
They're that. Like... so middle of the road, it is, you know, they're probably number, I don't know, 18 to 22 in the NFL.
And yet they'll probably get the sixth or seventh seed.
But in the NFC, that was decent enough last season. Like last season, they made the playoffs with a negative points differential.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they like, probably will do again this year.
I think they've got a reasonable roster. They're starting two rookies at corner, which is always a bit of a concern. I think that they will do okay purely on the fact that they're in the NFC, but I don't think they're anywhere near the playoffs, if I'm honest.
I think Darren Waller is a really interesting pickup, and I think as a safety valve, but Jones hasn't had a lot of
talent
proper solid options. You know, he is bad, but to have a safety valve of the quality of Waller, should he stay, could help them move the ball a little bit more and not rely so heavily on Barkley, because, you know, their receiving core is about as sort of meh as you can find, with the likes of Campbell, Sterling Shepard, Slayton, Jalen Hyatt, Isaiah Hodges, Wandale Robinson are their listed receivers.
Yeah.
Although there's an element of, do they all look bad because Danny Jones is terrible? And
I think that's really
never get to shine
it's
as
not
a
terrible. I don't think he's terrible.
Yeah,
I just don't think he's good.
But
wide receiver one would be a wide receiver three on the majority of NFL rosters. That's the bottom line to it.
Right.
And Hyatt might develop into that, but it's not set in stone yet. I think they look better than last year, if anything. And I hate to say that because I don't like the Giants being good. But whether better than last year is good enough to go back to the playoffs is another question.
I think the Dable effect will, I assume, mean that they take another step forward. And I do think that they've solid talent on defense. I mean, Mark's point is fair about the corners, but I do think generally that defense looks significantly better than it was last year.
I'd like to see the Giants go out of business specifically because of their fans.
Yeah, fair.
That doesn't really happen in the NFL. Or they go into administration and have to start next season five defeats behind.
Yeah. in the CFL.
All right, what about the Eagles and the Cowboys? They're two pretty good teams in this horrible conference, so we should pay them a bit of respect, I guess.
And Cowboys will do Cowboys things, get into playoffs and then lose very early on. I don't see that changing. They just seem determined to go around that loop yet again.
It's a bit ludicrous, isn't it? Because when I look at the Cowboys roster as it is now, it's probably, in terms of talent, the best defense in the league. They've got Tony Pollard finally. Is their now number one running back, which makes sense. They've got excellent wide receivers. They've got more experience. They've got a fantastic offensive line. They've got depth in most positions. Is the only question mark about this team Dak Prescott? It feels that way to me, that maybe, like, it's, I get that it's tough being the Cowboys quarterback, but they are, it's going to be, if he doesn't do it again in the playoffs, is it going to be another year where he throws a lot of interceptions and just doesn't quite get it done? Because everywhere else, they're phenomenal. I agree with you. You look at the Cowboys on paper, they should be easily super.
I am utterly unconvinced by the coaching at the Cowboys. That's my biggest issue. I think they've got loads of talent. I think the coaching is, at best, shit.
Especially, well, Mick McCarthy's taken over offensive play calling as well.
Sorry, who has?
Not Mick McCarthy.
The former Republic of Ireland manager, Mick McCarthy. I am hoping I've not misheard that and you said Mick McCarthy, because I'm certain you did.
Roy Keane's in as the defensive coordinator.
and they've got John Aldridge at wide receiver, haven't they?
Oh, imagine Roy Keane as a defensive coordinator. I mean, that would be superb.
I'm so happy that we're going to have no time left to talk about the Eagles because of this particular chat.
That's just how it goes, and I'm fine with it.
Well, I think the Eagles are going to win it, aren't they? And
oh, shit.
And, like, do incredible business. Like, every one of their running backs on that roster that they haven't lost costs less than what the Jets have just paid for Dalvin Cook. Absolutely poke the bear. they're a well-run team that's got excellent players in almost every position. They didn't lose anybody from a great team last year. I don't see any signs of a sophomore slump. I think they're back just as good as they were.
They did lose some talent on defense. They're not as deep on the defensive line as they have been, and that's always been a big strength of this team so far. They might find that they brought in some free agents and some rookies who are going to stack that up, but it's more unknown than it was last season.
It was also very noticeable.
Yeah, they've gone from having three first teams to two first teams worth of defensive line. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah, very true. There you go, 5 seconds left, loads of time.
It's basically the same story as the Chiefs, isn't it? Still good, move on.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. Right, time is up. We'll go straight on into the NFC North, and which is going to be completely different. This is an NFC North and a Green Bay Packers without Favre or Rodgers. This is groundbreaking. Can you remember a time when the Green Bay Packers didn't have a Favre or Rodgers?
Oh, because I don't even remember Favre.
I'm fascinated by the NFC North. purely because I don't think we've got any idea.
Fascinated.
I genuinely am. And I know that all the teams are like, they're all like 5 or 6 out of 10 teams. And I include the Lions in that. We've absolutely no idea what we're going to get. But because of that, it feels like it could be quite an even division. Like the Bears were the number one, had the number one overall pick. Let's not forget, but they could easily win this division. I think that the Lions obviously start it as favourites, but there's a very good chance that offensively, at least. They do.
According to the bookies, they do. Yeah, I'm not sure I agree.
I would have the Vikings as favourites. Based on last year, I would have the Vikings as favourites.
Yeah. But the Lions had a better record than them. No, they didn't. But the Vikings, the Vikings are not going to have as good a record.
No,
given that they were 11-0 in one score games, which is a good trait to have, but they're not going to do that again.
No, and that's the point I was going to lead on to is the Vikings either limped or lucked through a lot of games. I mean that 40 point comeback, you know. They had a very phenomenal run. I don't know if you watched any of the QB one episodes, and obviously following Kirk Cousins through that. But they were streaky, you know, last season. But it'd be interesting to see what they do with Mattison. I know they didn't have a Dalvin Cook for a lot of last season due to injury. But they kept, you know, the likes of Hockenson. They've got some definite talent. And I think, you know, Justin Jefferson's going to win plenty of games for them.
Yeah. The Vikings, to me, feel like the NFC's Chargers in that they always seem like a talented roster. They always seem like they should do well. They should make good playoff runs. And yet they always seem to fall somewhat short of that. And I can just see that happening again this year. It feels like almost getting to the point where it's the last one or two seasons to really prove that this roster is capable of a deep, deep playoff run. And they just always seem to be able to shoot themselves in the foot some way, shape, or form. And, you know, Jefferson's an absolute star. They always seem to find running back talent. They've got a decent offensive line. You know, you see games where Cousins just doesn't look like he's bothered. He's just sat back in the sofa and smoking a cigar. And yet other times he's running for his life for the entire game. They're so Jekyll and Hyde at times, this team. And I'm just, I don't know. I can see them. I think any of these teams could finish top of the division and any of them could finish bottom.
Yeah.
Yes. This is going to be a fun chat in a few minutes time when we come to our predictions, isn't it? This would be the sticking point.
One thing I will say is I really like some of the, I'm the same as Mark. I'm interested in this division. I'm interested in how Fields does. I'm interested in seeing whether the Lions can take a big step forward. You know, can the Vikings finally do what everyone expects? What does Love actually look like as a quarterback when he's been given the reins? There are some really fun, interesting storylines in this division in a way that there aren't in some of the boring divisions elsewhere.
And you're hearing really mixed things from Packers fans about Love. Because on the one hand, they're like, oh, we always draft Hall of Fame quarterbacks. He's going to be amazing. And then on the other hand, they're like, oh, yeah, but, you know, he's not started before. So you've got to give him time. And you're like, well, he sat for 3 years. That was the time. He's got to hit the ground running and get good in the first quarter of the season. Because if you've had that portion of your career not playing, you've got to make the most of it when you do finally get in. And the one thing we do know about Love at this point is he's not better than Aaron Rodgers with a broken thumb playing shit. So that should be insane if you're a Packers fan.
You don't know that. You know that the Packers think that, which is very different.
Yeah. I mean, that's worse almost.
Maybe.
It'll definitely tear you apart.
No, I want to know what the what is the power of love? Does anybody know? I want you to tell me.
I wonder. So, just go back to the Lions for a second. The Lions surprised a lot of people last year with their extremely aggressive approach. You know, very much in the Dan Campbell ethos in his mannerisms. I wonder whether it's going to be as easy for them to maintain that. And I think the most interesting team in the whole division are the Bears. I think the bet. I think Fields with DJ Moore.
Yeah, proper wide receiver for the first time.
Proper wide receiver. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple of pretty serviceable running backs. I think with a 1-2 punch. I know they've lost Montgomery to the Lions, but I like the look of Khalil Herbert. He's done a decent job over the last season or so. So I'm really interested to see what the Bears do.
I agree.
They've got a pretty defense.
Well, that's my question for them. I think secondary for them is okay. Up the front seven, I don't think looks particularly great at the minute. I saw in the Bills preseason game that they had with them when the starters played the starters, their front seven was all over the place. So I think it's potentially a work in progress, but they need to improve that quickly. Especially when they're playing against some decent high powered offenses in their roster in their schedule this year, but I agree because based on what they've done offensively, I wouldn't rule out them finishing in any of the four positions in this division. The same with all the other teams, and that was what I like about it. We absolutely have no idea.
I want it to be the Lions, but I don't trust them. Because they don't seem to play with a lot of intelligence. Like they'll either it'll go right for them and they'll smash 40 past someone, or they'll get shut out by a fairly mediocre Patriots team.
Because they don't have the ability to think around the game. Look at Dan Campbell. He doesn't scream intelligence, does he?
He absolutely not. No. He screams blunt force trauma.
Russ Milson playing rugby. That's what he screams.
He screams, found his wife in bed with another man, killed them two and another seven people for the hell of it.
Isn't that the villain out of Con Air?
Yeah. Oh, what's his name?
Cyrus the virus.
Cyrus Grissom, is it? Cyrus the virus.
John Malkovich. Yeah. I want to watch that film again. I've watched that film a lot of times.
The Dan Campbell thing is another interesting question for me. Is I don't know whether any of these teams are coached by really good head coaches or really bad coaching staffs, because they all seem to be a bit all over the place. And I almost trust the Bears most out of the lot of them. And I'm still not sure about them as a coaching staff. There's no one in here who's like, you know, you look at other divisions, it's like, oh yeah, there's a standout coach there. They'll be fine. They'll get over the line. And I don't see that here.
Mm. Matt LaFleur is interesting because we've never seen Matt LaFleur without Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
No, it's like I'm really interesting to see if love is all you need.
I've seen Matt LaFleur as a coordinator with Marcus Mariota. It wasn't good. It staggered me how he, I'm ignoring that repeated joke. It staggered me how he got that job, and it still does. He's highly regarded, and he's another off the Sean McVay tree, isn't he? That can only get you so far.
Yeah,
I just never quite got it.
He's now in a position where he's all in with Jordan Love, isn't it? You could almost say it's going to be an endless love. And
for fuck's sake.
But because of that, I'm...
Or a love story.
It's going to be an interesting love story.
Love machine?
Yeah. I think you might be tainted, to be honest.
I do know that love bites. Def Leppard told me that.
As long as he's not injured by week three, and we're all saying, where is the love?
The serious, massive issue we've got here is we're not short of songs with the word love in the title, are we?
we can. There'll be most of the season with this.
A different pun in every one sentence.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, at least there's some good news in that the time has run out, so we can move on to...
I love that.
The NFC South. Oh.
It's not good news, is it? Because the last two divisions are shit.
Yeah, we definitely should have finished with the NFC East.
Hang on. How do I... Wait a second. This timer. I don't think I can check. Like, it's 9 minutes 48. Shall I just talk about the countdown
for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Anything to talk about. But it's in a way, right, and I realise that I'm reaching here, but in a way it's sort of the same. In that there's a lot. Instead of being like 5 or 6 out of 10, these are like 3 or 4 out of 10. But they're
it's the same, but with completely unwatchable teams.
Yeah, I mean the Saints, I think, should be fine. They'll be all right. I mean, they'll have enough to win this division, you would think. The rest of them are all pretty meh, but because of that, at least it'll be like competitively meh.
Well, the crazy thing about this is because the Saints are so much better than the rest, they could easily come out of this without the whole conference with the number one seed, because the defense is excellent and all they need on offense is just not fucking up from Carr.
here's the thing though, right? Outside, you know, Alave came out last season and played nicely, right? But I don't like most of their offense. Like, you know, Taysom Hill, they'll trick play Taysom Hill. Their running backs aren't great. I think offensively, even with Baker Mayfield, I think the Bucs have got more about them offensively than the Saints have.
That's a very big if, though.
It's a big if.
I don't think Baker Mayfield is that much worse than Derek Carr.
Ooh, that's an interesting take.
I want to go back to the take of the fact that the Saints could win the number one seed. It sounds ludicrous, but the two divisions that the NFC South face, like where they have to play the four teams from each, are the NFC North, which we just discussed, and the AFC South. So they don't have to play. Then they've obviously got six in division games. So that's six.
Also fine.
That's 14 out of their 17 games.
All right, so the number one seed. Yeah, cool.
Like it seems like the Eagles, you would think, might be favourites in the conference otherwise, but they've got, you know, they've got to play the Cowboys twice, and they've got the like more difficult divisions in the other conference to play. So it's possible.
And they're also some of those non like regular matchups are the Giants, the Patriots, and the Rams. So it's like, well,
just crown them
two
now.
Out of those three are gimmies.
Yeah, I don't think it's not that far fetched.
Especially considering they'll have like later on in the season, they'll have a fairly rested Alvin Kamara when he comes back from suspension. So to give them a bit of a jolt towards the end of the year, they've got They brought in Jamal Williams, who was the NFL's leading touchdown getter last season, I believe. They're strong everywhere except really for Derek Carr, but I still think he's perfectly good enough
to be enough of a game manager
to get them through.
Exactly that.
And yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to be necessarily very fun. I don't think they're going to need to be to win this division.
You look at those games last year that they played, that defense hasn't changed that much. And they had games where they were just hanging around much, much better teams because the defense was keeping them in it. And with a serviceable quarterback and, you know, decent offensive play, they should be scoring. They could be scoring an average of like 18 points a game and still winning most of those games.
Yeah.
I do agree they'll be dull. Except for Adam, he loves a defensive show.
I do. I've just convinced myself in the last 4.5 minutes that the Saints are the team, not the team to watch, obviously, but they're a team to watch in the standings.
Yeah. Well, no one else in this division is.
No. Well, let's go through them. The Falcons. What have we got? Desmond Ridder, who. Well, Marcus Mariota kept out of the starting lineup for large chunks of last year.
They seem positive about him, though. I guess they have to be, but they're not. It's not like.
I mean, rubbish. Arthur
Smith was really slagging him up in the press conference the other day.
But it's not like the noises you hear coming out around what's his name that you have at the Titans, your second year guy, where everyone's almost like all the noises are that. They've just given up on him already.
I mean, that's not quite true, but
I mean, also, but also he's not the starter.
No, right. They've given him a bit of cover as well. Obviously, they've drafted Bijan Robinson, haven't they? So it'd be interesting to see how he comes out. And even if he doesn't come off, the likes of Algier and he's more than capable. Drake London, you know.
I think they've got something that, like, on. Kyle Pitts is still one of the best tight ends in the league. The numbers don't necessarily.
Or he could be if he had anyone who could throw him a ball.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they've got a good offensive line. They've got a decent front seven defensively with people like Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree. I think they're not bad. It's just I don't think they're just another bit of a meh. And Desmond Ridder, I think we will see. Like my hot take of the Falcons is that by week seven we will see Taylor Heineke starting. Yeah.
I do think with this lot that it's one of those. The Falcons have been so long, so bad for so long that it feels like they're one of these franchises that is starting to pick up. There are pieces starting to be put in place, but it's like a year or two early for them to actually challenge much within their division. And I think next year we might see something really interesting from them. But I think this year they'll get beaten by a lot of much better teams.
On a year or two if they had a quarterback that you had any faith in. But without that, if you're a quarterback or two away from being there, it's a much more concerning situation.
I don't see an obvious strategy with what they're doing with their roster. I don't think they really know exactly where they're going or there's an obvious direction. Maybe that's an easy observation from afar. I don't know, but I don't think. But then, like you say, Pat, like if the QB is someone that you believe in, it's a different story, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah. The Panthers.
Rebuilding year, isn't it? Under new quarterback. I don't think they'll have a winning record, but they've got some reasonable good players. I think Thielen's a reasonable pickup for them. I think he will be a good safety blanket. For Bryce Young, again with people, Miles Sanders is there. He's a good player. DJ Chark still there is a good player. Hayden Hurst is there. They've not got some bad players, but
even Chuba Hubbard put up like decent numbers towards the back end of last season after CMC got traded.
Yeah,
it's a much better receiving core to have as a rookie starting quarterback than Trevor Lawrence had, for example. So it'll help bring him in.
The question is whether that offensive line is any better because quarterbacks were getting smashed back there last year.
Yeah. That's the biggest concern for them.
And what about the Bucks? Baker, it's a bit of a come down from Tom Brady, isn't it? Whatever you do. But
it might not be that much of a come down from how Tom Brady played last season, but
no, but in terms of
you deserve to go 4-13. That's just the way it goes.
No, Baker will be massively overthrowing wide receivers or throwing it out of bounds rather than throwing it into the dirt 8 feet in front of his face.
I mean, with Mike Evans on the team, it's a good team to have to be trying to overthrow because it's a tough job.
I think they could be fun to watch. I think they'll have some hilarious, like massively high scoring games, but I don't see them having a winning record.
It's a bit odd, though, because and I get that, it's Baker Mayfield is a massive come down from some even like Tom Brady, but they've got this. They've still got a reasonably good offense. They've still got players like Devin White and Levante David and Shaq Barrett. They were the three linebackers that won the Super Bowl. They haven't, most of that, a lot of that team hasn't changed. Baker's in and Baker's gash, we know, but. They've probably improved at running back. They've improved at running back. I think there's a chance that they're better than people think they're going to be. I still don't think that they will be a playoff team, but they might not be awful.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Everyone has a chance.
Yeah, but given the division they're in, I think there's a good chance they could win 7 or 8 games.
Oh, 3-2-1. We can move on. Oh, that was painful.
Do we have to though?
Well, see, start the timer, Adam, please.
Yeah, I'll start the timer. I'll just point out that we spent more than 10 minutes talking about one NFC West team last week.
Well, the Seahawks win this at a canter, don't they? So let's move on.
Oh, I hope so.
He's not there anymore.
Does this division have the worst two teams in football in it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm with you, Pat. I'm very much enjoying the downfall of the Rams. We all knew this was coming. It's just a pity they managed to win a ring before.
Well, they fucking went balls deep into that ring, though, didn't they? You know, they sold their soul to the devil and all sorts of stuff for that ring.
Yep, they might.
And that's
well be
fair
bad.
Enough.
I mean, I take it. Yeah.
The question there is, how hard is Aaron Donald currently trying to get traded somewhere else?
Well, there's a lot of rumor about that.
I mean, he's got to be right. He's got to be worth a bunch, and there's no way he wants to stay there if he can get traded to anyone who's even vaguely got a chance of contending.
Why have they not done it yet?
Potentially his last year as well.
Probably contract.
Yeah, but
maybe he just likes living in Los Angeles.
I don't know. If you're the Rams, surely you've got to get something for him while you still can. Like, there's still enough value. Like, yeah. Whatever
it is, yeah.
He's basically the only player that they have that's of any note on that defense.
Right.
Yeah.
All the other pieces, or anything that had any value got thrown at anyone who'd take it, except for Aaron Donald. And you've got to be wondering, he's currently doing the Will Smith in an empty living room thing there.
Yeah.
They've still got Russ Yeast. He's one of my favorite name players in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at that secondary at the moment, and I don't recognize a single name.
but that's the way to do it, right? Such a massive tank that you can get decent draft capital for next year and then just hope to do a decent job of that draft.
But they had so little draft capital going back over some of their previous trades that it's going to take them so long to get back. And it's not even a rebuild. You can't rebuild when you've got injured.
And had a setback as well, but like, is there a bit of him that's wondering, I don't want to get myself injured this season and get back too early, because if I might like to try and be off as well, in which case that's what their only real weapon gone. Cam Akers was going to be gone and then decided to come back. It's a Matt Stafford who is basically half a Matt Stafford by the end of last season. Yeah.
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah, because if you're Cooper Kupp, you've just turned 30.
Yeah,
you might not have time to wait for them to rebuild back into a playoff contending roster.
He definitely doesn't. No. Yeah.
And you'd think
and
there
then
are
behind
teams
him,
out there
Van
that would
Jefferson
throw a
lot. And Atwell, it's nothing.
Yeah, but there's got to be a bunch of teams out there that would throw a chunk of, like a decent chunk of draft capital for Cooper Kupp, even if you only get him for a year or two. You know, you think about him on some of those almost Super Bowl contending rosters. You think about there's five AFC teams who would bite your hand off to get him just to try and get over the line in that conference.
Yeah, I can think of one in Northwestern New York that would probably like to have a wide receiver too.
Yeah, and then the Cardinals are an interesting one. You talk about injuries and players not wanting to risk coming back too early. Kyler Murray does he really want to play too much on that team?
He will not be on that roster next year. Not a chance. They will finish with the worst record and they will draft Caleb Williams and they will rebuild from there. They are going to try and trade Kyler Murray to get what they possibly can for him and move on with the rookie and Caleb Williams. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
Who's gonna play? Josh Dobbs, is it?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think
is Josh that who Dobbs they've is. Have they announced that? That's
I don't even think well it must have been named by now.
But no, he refused to name it to keep a competitive advantage over the other sides. I'm directly quoting.
I mean, it's not
clearly
not going to be. If he starts Clayton, then I mean, win, crack on.
Does it really matter anyway? I mean, they're going to win one or two games max this year. I can't see it being more than that. There's no. They are going to be fighting the Rams for that number one pick.
And the big question for me is, have they brought Gannon in as a scapegoat to sack him off and get a proper head coach in with their number one overall pick? Or is he genuinely in there knowing that he's engineering his long-term future with that haul of number one picks. Because from what I've seen from him so far, like he's not very inspirational. And
no,
just I don't know, I have no faith that he can rebuild this team, even with a haul of first overall picks.
You know what? I'd be perfectly happy to go in there on an NFL head coach's salary for a year and then get fired.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be okay with that. But yeah, no, I, he doesn't seem like a flashy name that they'd want to have to do a rebuild with. And it's going to be messy there this year.
All right, Seattle Seahawks then. Can they get the same out of Geno Smith that they got a year ago? I feel like I can't see it. I don't know.
I think we all doubt Geno at our peril at this point. Well, he seems to have found that spark in that organization.
Every year I assume the Seahawks are going to be awful, and then every year they're not.
Every year I hope that, and they're not. And so again, they're going to be another, it's going to be a playoff run because the NFC is so bad. And they are, the coaching staff's good. It's always competent there. We don't have Craig on the pod to slag thingy off Pete Carroll off for being too old. They will be a very solid side that picks up wins against teams when it's a tight game in really annoying last minute field goal fashion, and they will comfortably get to 10 or and get over the line.
Pete Carroll's going to be sprinting up and down that sideline into his 90s, isn't he?
Chewing gum furiously.
I saw him playing some quarterback and he looked more agile than Brady last season.
Not been a high bar. Less than Brady.
Marsha.
Seattle's got some decent talent. They brought in that rookie running back who seems like he's going to be a useful second.
Kenneth Walker. Zach Carbonnet. It's always going to be Carbonnet to me.
Yeah. American.
Kenneth Walker is an absolute stud.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you're able to spell him with a guy who's talented.
Yeah.
And Jackson and Jeebo as well, like at receiver.
And they always seem to find talent on defense, even when you think that defense is like, they've not spent any draft picks on it. They've picked up bargain basement free agents, and yet it always seems to be decent.
And I haven't mentioned Lockett and Metcalf either.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Just consistently good and having great.
Exactly. Like
making mediocre quarterbacks look good for decades.
The Seahawks, to me, look like they're going to be the epitome of function. And I think Geno will do just enough that he needs to do, and he'll keep hitting Lockett and he'll keep hitting Metcalf, and they'll do some flashy bits and pieces. He'll find, I mean, I don't know whether Will Disley's still there or who they've got.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and into like the likes of Noah Fant. He had so much talent coming out of the Broncos, and he went as part of that Drew Lock trade and seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth. But
Drew Lock, whatever happened to him? Yeah, it's like
it looks all right in preseason, but it's an easy game when the interceptions don't matter as much. He was always a decent gunslinger, he just wasn't trustworthy enough to be consistent enough to win you 8-9 games a season.
Yeah, I think, Rich, I hate to say it, I don't think you're going to have it all your own way in that division.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
I don't think you hate to say it at all.
No, I absolutely agree. I think I thought last year, oh, we're going to walk this compared to the Seahawks and the Rams will be potentially the biggest threat. And then the Rams had the massive Super Bowl hangover and loads of injuries and were nowhere. And the Seahawks, it's coaching. It's excellent coaching year in, year out of that organization.
Yeah, it feels like if the Niners stay where they were last season, then they'll stay a step ahead of the Seahawks. But if they drop a little bit, if Purdy has a little bit of a regression, if they get a few injuries and the Seahawks maintain their level, suddenly it becomes a real tough race for the winner of that division.
Well, they play the Bengals, the Eagles and the Ravens, and those will be the testers as to whether they're actually a good side or not.
Hmm.
And I'm watching Adam watch the clock.
Yeah, it's over. It's all over.
How have we managed 40 minutes on that conference?
I don't know, but it's 40 minutes we're not going to get back. We need to get straight into, while the iron is hot, predicting from this shit show of a conference which seven teams are going to be in the postseason. And bear in mind some of the teams in the AFC that we said won't be. I forget which, but some good teams. We just wait till you see the dross that we think is going to come out of this conference. Four division winners doesn't seem that straightforward. I mean, I guess it's the Eagles from the East and presumably the Niners from the West. We have to say that.
No, we don't.
Well,
we don't have to say that at all.
Okay, let's. Yeah, but it's you say that, or we have to hear Rich argue it for 10 minutes. So, which road do you want to go down?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly that it's the Eagles. I don't think it's as straightforward as just saying it's the Niners.
Okay.
I think the Seahawks, I think it'll be close. I think there'll be a game in it either way.
I don't disagree with that. I think the question mark of quarterback is bigger than people are making out, and Bosa has still not signed his contract and may well not be available for week one.
Brock Purdy's is a fascinating one. In that, now teams.
No, no, we're out of time, Mark. You can't talk about the Niners.
I'm fine with that.
But I think, God, if this slowly slips into 20 more minutes of Trey Lance chat. Like, yeah.
Are you, Pat, saying it's the Niners as well?
Yeah, on balance.
Oh, okay, then I'm outvoted.
As long as we can move on. The NFC North, that's going to be the fun one. So I don't know if it just comes down to us sticking our fingers in the air and trying to vote on this. The Lions seem favourites. I do not trust them.
Nope.
I think on balance, I probably trust the Vikings the most to win that division. But I think we're probably going to get, we're not going to get five different answers because there are four teams, but we'll get more than one. Pat, where do you see the NFC North?
My money went on the Vikings as well, just on the basis that they don't look like they've taken that big a step back from last season, and you don't know what you're going to get from Green Bay. You can't trust the Lions and the Bears. It's kind of too early to say. So I think they've got the biggest percentage chance from what we know at this point.
Mark?
Lions, I think, probably, but I don't know why. Yeah.
Don't let your heart rule your head, Mark.
Well, I think the Vikings are going to be way off it this year. I don't think they're a playoff team. I actually think the Packers will finish above the Vikings. I think I'm going to go with Lions.
Okay. Russ?
I think Mark is mad as shit.
but we're talking about the NFC North, so it has been said.
I don't see the Packers finishing above the Vikings. I agree with Pat. They've had the least amount of disruption.
Yeah.
So I think cohesion. I think Kirk Cousins thrives on that sort of level of cohesion, and the Vikings will win the division comfortably.
Rich, I think you,
I think in a boring season, the Vikings win this. But the NFL has been far from boring the last couple of seasons. It's been absolutely bonkers. And I think the Vikings should win this division. I think the Bears do win this division. And I think it's a game apart from like first to third.
That's with Green Vikings, Bay, Miles, one Bears, back. One Lions then. So the consensus is Vikings.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's a sensible consensus.
Yeah, it probably is. It also means there's probably no further team from that division in the playoffs, but we'll get to that. The NFC South. I mean, are we saying the Saints?
Yeah.
I mean, two of us in the end said that they're going to win the number one seed. I'm not sure that's necessarily likely, but we got carried away. Are we saying the Saints to win that division?
I said so.
Yeah, enough of us. There's enough nods. That's fine. So we've got the Saints, the Eagles, the Niners, and the Vikings, and three more teams.
Cowboys. Cowboys, definitely.
Cowboys, we're probably going to all agree on. Okay.
The Cowboys, the Lions, Seahawks, the Bears, and the Seahawks.
That's four.
Three from four.
Yeah.
yeah, Seahawks for me. Cowboys, definitely. And
hot luck out of the NFC.
Probably the Giants. I think maybe I'm going to have to go with the Giants.
I went Giants as well.
I've got Giants, Seahawks, and maybe Cowboys, because I can see the Cowboys just being hilariously like fucking it up right at the end. Because
are we kind of all saying Lions? Sorry, not Lions. Giants, Seahawks, and Cowboys. It feels like we are. That feels a bit
you
too easy. Well, yeah, but enough of us. I just
you can all get fucked.
Giants have got three already, which surprises me. But there we are.
I mean, I think if they're in the AFC, I don't think they'd be anywhere near the playoffs, but they're not. So I think they've got a good chance because of that. Reasonable head coach, reasonable weapons. Yeah, I think they'll be right.
I'd much rather the Bears or the Lions were there, but...
No, 100%. But the Lions will be there.
Well, that's not what we're saying. We could have an argument about it for 10 minutes again.
Nah.
That's the mood I'm in about this... This conference is like, let's just make a decision to make the conversation shorter. Right.
Yeah. Well, I wish we could just make it that we'll play the AFC as the NFL, and then we'll have like the Eagles and the 49ers as the NFC semi-final, and then we'll just play the Super Bowl, and then we'll go from there.
We treat the Eagles and 49ers like the Rangers and Celtic. Maybe invite them in.
Exactly that.
But you're not really sure how it would work. So, let's just ignore the problem.
I do think there's a very definite possibility of one of the teams that's supposedly going to be good in this conference turning out to be absolute dog shit. And one of the ones that we've... like, number three seed.
Yeah, but...
like the Bucks. So I can't remember who made the point about their roster, but that could happen.
Yeah, it's still a very good roster, but they've got Baker Mayfield and a head coach that seemingly doesn't know how to head coach an NFL team, and yet he's still the head coach. So
it says a lot about your quarterback drafting and subsequent development. If you draft him, I think it was second round, and then he sits behind Tom Brady for a couple of years, learning from the greatest of all time, and then... you go, actually, we'd probably rather have Baker Mayfield.
Well, based on quarterback comments who have sat behind Tom Brady, there's apparently not that much learning to be had there.
Right. Well, yeah, who else have we had in history that have come from that path? Matt Cassel, Jimmy Garoppolo, Brian Hoyer.
Garoppolo clearly didn't learn to fall like Tom Brady.
not exactly a who's who of top quarterbacks, is it? But there we go. That's seven teams, I think. I forget which ones they are.
Pat's got them. We're all
Pat's
good.
Got, yeah. Who? All right, then. Who's going to be the worst team in the conference? And by default, we'll be picking first overall.
It's got to be the Cardinals, surely.
You can't go into a season... trading for Josh Dobbs to be your starting quarterback after all of your preseason before he's had a chance to learn the playbook and with a fifth round rookie as his backup be anything other than aiming for the number one overall pick. Players will do their level best all season, but you have set them up to fail.
Yeah. It's bonkers that they actually traded for him, isn't it? That's the like you could have just got him,
especially when you consider there are some quarterbacks in free agency. They could have fucking picked up Carson Wentz or, whatever.
Bailey Zappi got cut. I mean, just pick him up. He's got a fun name.
And eyebrows.
What's that? Yeah, what a world we live in. Josh Dobbs.
It's a coin toss between those two. They'll both be fucking dreadful. They could both finish with zero wins.
The Rams are going to be better because the Rams have got at least like two playmakers provided they stay fit / get fit.
Yeah.
And they've got a head coach who wouldn't let that happen, I think.
Yeah.
Also, they get to play the Cardinals twice.
That helps.
Yeah, but the Cardinals get to play the Rams twice.
So someone's got to lose.
When Aaron Donald kills Josh Dobbs because he doesn't have any offensive line, then you're into like next person from the street who can hold the football. Yeah, they genuinely could go zero wins.
But Josh Dobbs has got a degree in nuclear physics. Is it nuclear physics or rocket science? Or literally something. Yeah. Astrophysics. Yeah, well, basically, he is literally a rocket scientist.
Oh, God. We're going to get Ryan Fitzpatrick comparisons all season long, aren't we?
All right. I think it looks like the Cardinals, doesn't it? But so AFC, we did this. We each picked a team that we thought would be overhyped and one that we thought would be underhyped. So let's do it for the NFC. We're not a consensus, just for each of us to make a bold, crazy statement. Russ, why don't we start with you? Who's going to exceed expectations and who's going to disappoint in the NFC?
So I am going to say that the Chicago Bears are underestimated, and I think that they will do better than people think they will do. And I think the New York Giants will not do as well as people think they'll do, based on the fact that Saquon goes down relatively early and then they're fucked.
Yeah, that is a possibility as well, isn't it? Pat, what about you?
I think the Falcons are overhyped, or at least I'm a lot lower than them than the consensus opinion seems to be when I'm in kind of media circles. Underhyped? It's a tricky one, that. Maybe the Seahawks, just because if people are quite quiet on the Seahawks, I think, for the most part, maybe unless you're in Richard's circles.
Yeah. I'm stalling for time for myself because I don't really know where I'm going with this yet. Rich, enjoy saying the Seahawks for one of or both of these.
Can you imagine if I did both of them? I mean, I've already mentioned this. I think the teams that are sort of just being already assumed to be teams that will top their divisions, comfortably roll through this and into the playoffs, at least one of those will end up turning out to be a complete bag of shite. And my biggest concern is that it's going to be the Niners, based on what I've already mentioned, you know, Purdy being caught out. I don't think that, but in my heart, I'm genuinely concerned that it could be the Niners. But equally, it could be the Cowboys or the Eagles, you know, the NFC's teams that everyone's just like, yeah, those guys are definitely making the playoffs. And then underhyped, we've already talked about the Saints. People aren't really talking about them. People aren't talking about any of those NFC South teams as doing much. And as we discussed, I think based on a strong defense, a serviceable offense, and an incredibly weak schedule, they can be the number one seed.
I'm going to jump in and say I agree with you about the Saints. That's, yeah, bang on to me. As far as overhyped goes, I mean, if I don't pick an NFC East team as an answer for that, then what am I even doing here? probably the gut says the Cowboys. Yeah, all right, I'll say the Cowboys. Although I kind of rate them, but they'll always get more hype than they deserve, regardless of how good they are. It's just how the world works. Mark, let's
consider them overhyped, even if they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what happens when you start talking about the Cowboys. It ruins people's internet.
Yeah,
we lost all of that, Adam.
Well, considering the recording is on my machine, hopefully we didn't. Maybe we lost you. I'm actually a little bit nervous about some hopefully. Of this recording. Mark, who have you got?
So I'm doubling down on my craziness. I'm saying underhyped as the Packers. I think that they're going to look better than a lot of people think, and they're going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder as well, in that both Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love are going to want to go out and prove that they can do it in this team. They don't need Aaron Rodgers. And by all accounts, they've had an excellent training camp. So I think they're going to be better than people think. Worse than people think is the Vikings. For me, I think that we talk about the fact that they've not had a huge amount of change. Well, Patrick Peterson's gone, Eric Kendrick's gone, Irv Smith's gone.
Irv Smith, that'll say 2 catches and 7 yards a week.
Adam Thielen's gone. there's been a lot of players that, like, veterans from that locker room that have gone out the door. It's that, like I said, they won 11 games last season by one score or less. They were on the brink last year of being an awful, awful side. And I think their roster is worse this year than it was last.
You're going to tell me that Jared Allen and the Williams sisters have left as well now, aren't you?
No, he's still there.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm really...
I look forward to Mark reminding us this in week 10 when the Vikings are like 2-8.
You know he will as well.
Yeah, I know.
He's not the kind to just let that drift past.
I'm fine with that because it's the Vikings.
All right, there we go. That's NFC business out of the way. I think we've got two or three other things to get to before we get out of here. Russ, you weren't here last week and your Denver Broncos got discussed. Yes. I may have taken a bit of a leap in suggesting that they might make the playoffs. Luckily, nobody else agreed with me.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yes, there we go.
And that's not just blind faith in my love for my team. Obviously, I've followed the Broncos for a considerable period of time. And
through thick and thin.
Lifelong fan.
Yeah.
Mostly thin, if I remember rightly.
My love for the Broncos is about as thick as my thatched hair. But I am really excited about the Broncos this year. I wasn't excited about him last year. I was excited about Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. Then, after a very short space of time, realised Nathaniel Hackett had absolutely no idea what he was doing as a head coach. And I don't think Russell Wilson had any respect for him whatsoever. I think that working together with Sean Payton, the weapons they've got, they can keep really fit. I think having Javonta Williams coming back fit as well. They've got a really good defense. That kept it, I mean, that stopped it getting embarrassing for the Broncos last season, their defense. So that could have been really, really bad. But I think that Sean Payton will get a tune out of them this year, and they will, as far as teams go that are underhyped, watch out for the Broncos this season, because although it's an incredibly tough division, you know, the best division in football, you could argue. It's watch out for
them. You can't say any division with the Raiders in it is the best one in football.
I think the Raiders have surprised a few people as well. Regardless of Jimmy G, who again isn't a massive step down from Derek Carr.
A massive step down from Derek Carr.
No, Derek Carr's been on the decline now for quite some time.
G's been on the decline since he got in the league.
If Jimmy G was ugly, he'd never have had a job in the NFL. he's basically got where he's got because he's a handsome man.
He is a handsome devil.
He really is.
But like, you can't say to me any team that on offense contains Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams isn't gonna put up some
Josh
numbers.
Jacobs has got his deal now.
His 1 year deal.
I think that just probably seems like enough for him.
Yeah, well, finally it's enough for him, but I reckon, you know, he'd probably want to keep playing for the next couple of years.
Preferably not
somewhere else. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. So, what better way to keep himself in the shop window?
Yeah, particularly. I think particularly when you look at what quality running backs have had to deal with on the free agency market this last off season, he will definitely want to be putting himself as like the top option.
Yeah.
There we go.
I don't think there's a lot of other depth there.
Well, Derek Henry would argue with you. Well, he wouldn't argue with you. That's accurate, but he's gone on a bit of a crusade about this.
Good for him. I think it's shocking, but it just seems like no one gives a shit about the running back position now because you don't need to. Like, people seem to have the opinion that you can just go and draft someone in the fourth round who will do just as good a job as the guy that you've got at the minute. There's clearly a few standout guys that should get paid, but even they aren't getting paid. So
yeah. I mean, Derek Henry did get paid, and he's which I kind of respect the fact that he's standing up for his colleagues, having got paid himself, which I suppose it's easier to do. But players like Jonathan Taylor, the way he's been treated by the Colts, is just awful, really.
Yeah.
And there have been so many others, but like you say, they get treated, you'll draft someone like the Titans have just drafted Tajay Spears, who's got no ACL, and he's like openly being talked about in the media by fans as like, well, he's got no ACL, so he'll probably get 3 years out of him, so let's use him, abuse him, and then he's out of the league before we need to pay him. And it's probably accurate, but it's really sad that you could treat someone in that way.
Let's not pretend that any of us care about these people. Please.
You might be projecting a little bit there.
I don't care about them, Pat, as people. Like, I could not give a shit. They're getting paid.
Yeah, really. I thought what I was saying was, I think you're projecting that onto the rest of us.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe so.
But the issue is a running back who's brilliant that you love, but because your franchise don't value the position, you don't want to pay him, you end up not having him on your roster. So you're a worse team because of it.
And you've spent $140 on a jersey that is...
Exactly. And you want to go and watch him play. And so you might not give a shit about whether he's going to be a bit more rich or not, but him not being there does actively hurt your team's chances of winning.
It's all fun and games until you have Melvin...
Sorry, Pat.
Sorry, I was going to say, it's all fun and games until you have Melvin Gordon fumbling three of your first six games away on the 1 yard line.
But the people will keep buying the jerseys. The people will keep into the matches. Like, it's not the players' fault. It's not necessarily the club's fault. Like, everybody is expendable, so there has to be a balance.
Yeah. I don't think there's an answer to this. This is the thing. Like,
well, there is an answer. The answer is that the CBA should have been better negotiated by the unions, because that's ultimately what's causing all of this. And I think what will happen is that you'll get fewer and fewer players looking at running back and wanting to continue playing it, and more who will switch to wide receiver very early on, focus on wide receiver, tight end, positions they know and they're going to get paid.
Look at Debo throwing his toys out of the pram about...
Right, because he doesn't want to be considered a running back.
Yeah.
It'll shorten his career and he'll get paid worse. So why would you want to do that role more than you absolutely have to? I do think there will be...
I don't know if blaming the CBA is fair when you've kind of got to...
I'm not blaming the CBA. I'm blaming the union.
Sorry, you know what I mean. It's just the natural... fact about that position is
well the suggestion is that they should have shorter deals for running backs. I don't think that solves the problem, because it then just becomes a real mishmash of nonsense. I think ultimately the way it works is it's market factors, and you just get fewer and fewer running backs entering the league who are medium talented, and you end up with a very small number of very, very talented elite guys who end up then getting paid again, because the talent gap will be much bigger.
It's shocking to find that 32 billionaires would do stuff that's not in the interest of their employees. It's really surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Steve Raines. So Steve Raines, anytime touchdown corner, we've been trying and failing to win money in his memory for what would be nearly 4 years. This season, we've kind of decided, rather than waste money each week religiously, we're going to waste money over the whole season. You never know, we might actually win some. But what we're going to do, we're going to place an accumulator bet on the 8 division winners. So they would be the Bills, the Chiefs, the Jags, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Saints, and the Niners, maybe.
Well remembered.
Yes. So that's going to be accumulated bet. No idea quite where the odds are going to come out there. Maybe not too bad, given one or two of the reaches that we came up with in the NFC. We'll see. And then we're also going to pick like a bet each that's like a season long bet. And once we've, you see, if we were more organized, I'd be able to tell you what we've gone with at this point, but we haven't. We're not there yet. We'll get that done before the season starts on Thursday, and we might even share them with you next week.
Adam, we're building suspense for week one when we reveal what those bets will be, if we remember to place them.
Yes, and talk about it again.
I mean, this is all a bit non-committal, but essentially, yeah, we're going to carry on doing this in Steve's memory, and you never know, we might win some money. That's the ultimate. But what we're not going to do this year is get to week 13 and go, right, we've all got to come up with a receiver whose name has a vowel as its fifth letter to bet on, because we've done everything else. So just changing it up a little bit. So there you go. Fingers crossed. I mean, we're due. We're definitely due. Okay, week one is about to happen. We are there. So we should preview some games. I know it feels late in the pod to get into previewing some games, but we'll do it quickly in a one-sentence format. One-sentence previews, week one, they are back. Detroit at Kansas City.
The Lions carry on from last season. We could be in for a high-scoring, fun matchup that the Chiefs will inevitably win.
Carolina at Atlanta.
The Falcons start as slight favourites in Bryce Young's debut, mainly due to being the more established and slightly less underwhelming squad.
Houston at Baltimore. Nice, easy starter for the Ravens, you would think, but beware that ludicrous week one rookie quarterback performance from the Texans. Cincinnati at Cleveland.
Nice, fresh Burrow back for the season opener. Standard, easy win for the Bengals.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis. The traditional early season Jags upset the Colts game. Except this year, maybe it's a Colts upset the Jags game.
I hope not.
I definitely hope not. Tampa Bay at Minnesota.
Every time you expect the Vikings to win, they seem to find a way to lose. But this one's not on primetime, so they should probably be okay this week.
Tennessee at New Orleans.
Unless you support either of these teams, this fixture not concern you at all.
Brilliant. San Francisco at Pittsburgh.
The Steelers will see this as a chance to demonstrate that they are not just AFC North, also Rams. Potential early season shock for the Niners.
I kind of have that vibe. Arizona at Washington.
I can't believe I'm saying this in week one, but who cares?
That really smacks of who cares, doesn't it?
That is a worst game of the week.
Oh, let's bring that back.
Oh, I've got to find the jingle and I've got nothing to do. There you go. There's your long snapper podcast, worst game of the week, brought to you by Kinsler's Pasties. Green Bay at Chicago.
Is Jordan Love ready? Is Justin Fields all that? Don't know. Don't trust either. Bears by 3?
Las Vegas at Denver.
The best possible start for Sean Payton to get Russell Wilson playing his best football again.
Miami at LA Chargers.
For me, game of the week. 60 plus points and a 5-point swing.
6-3 it is. Miami, no, just done that one. Philadelphia at New England. Hang on. Wait a second. Something's Slick. Derailed. Something has derailed.
I was very confused when Russ started saying things during the one that I've got down as one preview.
That's exactly what's derailed me there. Miami at LA Chargers. I've got Rich written down. Russ did a preview.
Wait, what's the other one?
It was good. Give us your Miami Chargers preview.
No. Russ smashed it. I can't get anywhere near that. All right,
fine.
He basically said what I'd have said anyway. Just worse.
In the list, Adam, you have given it to both of them.
How Spotify.
Does that mean? Does that mean that we've got one game that's not been previewed? Good luck, listeners.
Let's find out. Let's find out. Philadelphia at New England.
That's steamrolling for the Eagles, surely.
Start as we mean to go on, Bruce.
Oh, do you know whose fault this is? This is Nate's fault because I did all these, and then he said, "Oh, I can't make it." So I bet that was one of them. Prick. honestly, well, yeah, Philadelphia, happy. New England, who cares? LA Rams at Seattle.
Starting against the Seahawks in Seattle should very quickly give us a picture of quite how bad things might get for the Rams in a rebuilding year.
Dallas at New York Giants. Cowboys Giants for week one Sunday night football. How original, NFL schedulers. And finally, hopefully someone's got this, Buffalo at New York Jets.
Fuck him up, Russo. Buffalo all the way this time. Woo!
Wow. That was a strong end. Right, that's your week one games previewed. I think that's everything we've got on the agenda. Any other business? I've still got the timer up. This might be a, what do you reckon, 1 minute any other business each? What do you think? Just to inject a bit of urgency onto this. I'm doing it. Mark, go, 1 minute.
I won't need it. I've got nothing to talk about at all.
Ben.
United are still annoying. My lad had his first day at secondary school today. Yeah, that's it. I've got nothing else going on in my life.
I'll tell you what, who wants another 45 seconds? Russ,
never
go on.
Be done in a minute.
I mean, the only thing I've got is slightly ironic post yesterday. You may have heard me talk on a previous podcast that used to exist about a group of people called Progressive Rugby. Don't know if you've come across these guys. Mm-hmm. One of their folk is a former player called Alex Popham. You know, he was a good player in his day. He's an advocate for less in the standpoint of player welfare. He's more of an advocate of playing less games and less contact training, which I can get on board with rather than drastically amending all the rules and shouting for red cards left, right, centre. Anyway, by some cruel twist of fate and irony, Alex Popham was due to take part in a half Ironman triathlon yesterday, somewhere in Wales. And whilst he was carrying out the swim, got kicked in the head, swimming in an open water triathlon, and had to withdraw with concussion. Apparently had to go to hospital because he didn't recognise his wife.
They need to ban triathlon now.
Yeah, progressive triathlon. Yeah, that's the next. Which is exactly what I said on Twitter, which didn't go down too well. I got lots of bedwetters and sympathisers saying, "Oh God, read the room. Why can't you just be, you know, care about his welfare? I don't care about his welfare." Could not give.
I read it. That's why I said it.
Exactly. Honestly, it's fucking bullshit, right? And the irony of him doing, you know, for the charity Head Change, which is about head injury and brain injury again, which is a great cause, but I don't see them going for all of these triathlon people where you can't swim and lake at the same time as anyone else because you're going to get kicked in the face.
Imagine doing a sport where you know what the risks are and then coming a cropper due to one of those risks.
imagine not leaving it to the individual to make that choice.
Yeah.
And a completely accidental, but ultimately pretty disastrous outcome. Similar to, you know, somebody making a high tackle in rugby.
The timer ran out ages ago, but I was enjoying that. I don't think 1 minute for any other business is going to work, is it? It was an experiment.
Good.
That lasted all of 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I was just enjoying it. Pat, any other business? Take as long as you like.
Thanks, I shall. A little bit of a work grumble. We've got this doc-based thing, and it used to have access to all of the previous history versions of a document, which was useful for audits because you sometimes got asked, show me that when we did this in 2000, it was done according to the internal documents, right? Which is really boring. That disappeared. And I found out that it disappeared because someone used it wrong, despite the fact you have to click into a submenu to get the older version, and then it says superseded on it in massive fucking red letters. Somehow, they used an out-of-date version of the document. So now no one's allowed to see older versions of the document, even though we need it for our job. And it just made me think, like, you've reacted to this one guy making a mistake that should mean he gets retrained by cutting it off for everyone else. Imagine if that happened elsewhere in life, like the time I got the train to Leicester when I was trying to get to Derby, and they just went, right, sorry, Loughborough, no trains for you. Someone got on the wrong one. Now, when you want to get to Derby, you're going to have to ring us up and we'll drive you to Derby to make sure you get to the right town because of that one guy who's an idiot. So I'm miffed.
There's too much of that in the world. Change because one guy's an idiot. That's just, yeah, sums things up, doesn't it? I'll go next. This might sound... Well, maybe every single ad and many other businesses, very Adam, but this is probably right up there. Uber ratings. So if you're a pass, every driver, if you're an Uber driver, everybody rates you out of five. And if you're an Uber passenger, they also rate you out of five. So you're probably mostly aware of this. And you get, it shows an average rating of every person, every driver that's ever rated you. I had a perfect five. Until recently, and it's changed, and it's now like 4.96 or something. And I want to, but it's all anonymized. But I want to know who. I want to know which Uber driver hasn't given me a perfect score. I am an incredible passenger. I've tipped every single driver that's ever taken me anywhere in an Uber, regardless of whether they deserve it. Well, I mostly because I think that somehow contributes to whether they give me 5 out of 5, if I'm honest.
Yeah, they don't see the tip until after they've given you a rating.
Is that right?
Yep.
That's a waste of money then. But this has really troubled me. So this is like a journey in the last couple of months. Now, some driver at some point has taken one look at me and thought, no, you're only getting 3. I'm a shit bloke in all sorts of ways, but I'm a pretty fantastic Uber passenger.
This feels like when Lisa Simpson freaks out when she gets an A-.
Yeah, it might not seem like it matters, and it definitely doesn't matter. But 4.96 isn't perfect. And
why do you care, Adam?
Because it's I don't know.
Because he had a nice round number, and no, he doesn't. But it's like those people on Amazon where you see the Amazon review and the review reads absolutely perfect, really what I wanted, seems really solid, love the thing, and they give it 3 stars.
It's like,
what?
Yeah.
Do you not understand how this system works?
bang on. By the way,
because of those people, no one should be allowed to review anything.
Yeah. Also, if you're going to, somebody new, leave a review of this podcast and give us 3 stars just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, because what just we need is to move further down the visibility and rankings.
Yeah, largely entertaining, 3 stars.
I'll do.
Thanks, Greg.
Rich, any other business? Finish this off.
I feel like we only just finished recording. The thing I've done in between is sit in the field and listen to music, which you guys will give me shit for. So the only thing I've really got is...
You do that every week, don't you?
I got back from that and having had fuck all signal, didn't know any of the football. And so I watched Match of the Day old school where I didn't know what the scores were. And it was great. I haven't done that for a long time. Well, the pundits weren't great, but the actual experience of watching the games without knowing the scores was a lot of fun. I would like to do that more, and I know I won't because of the internet days.
I could get on board with that. Well, before we came on air, I was just saying how 2 or 3 of the games on there I watched without knowing the score, not because I'd avoided it, but just because I wasn't paying any attention and I didn't really care, but it was quite enjoyable. So whatever, maybe the end justifies the means, I don't know. But yeah, I
just follow, used to love that. Like back in the days when we cared about this sort of thing. Yeah, watching Match of the Day without knowing, it was great.
Yeah.
Right.
It's awesome, particularly when you got in from the pub and you were shit-faced.
Well, by rights, you should fall asleep halfway through, which is normally how it works.
Wake up time to watch the morning version for the second half.
Yeah. iPlayer and On Demand has made all this stuff too easy. We don't know we're born, do we?
Modern life is
we'll
rubbish.
Circle back to Craig talking to Ben the other day.
Right, are we done?
Yeah.
I think we're done. Let's go.
We've done a long time ago. We're finished now, though.
We are finished. Yeah. Enjoy
there's
week
games,
one.
There's games on there's Thursday games. Night.
Yes.
Well, actual game.
I know.
I don't think that's really like, dawned on me yet.
Yeah, same.
It feels like, because the wet, like it's 30 degrees outside this week, like it doesn't feel like the season should be starting. It's still like summer. Like, yeah. The season starts when the weather turns shit.
Last season, last Sunday was the last Sunday until February where there's no, where there was no NFL.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing Handsome Scott Hansen. Right. 7 hours of commercial-free football on Sunday.
Yes, indeed.
Or who called him Chris Hansen on this podcast?
Craig.
That was Craig, wasn't it?
Chris. Even better because he said, you know, I respect Chris Hansen, but...
Wasn't he one of the brothers who sang Umbop?
I love our mid-90s references. It's brilliant.
Nothing's ever been as good.
I'll tell you what, let's let Umbop play the show out instead of the traditional theme tune. What about it? Go well, everyone. Myself a shitload of pointless new work.
Enjoy that.
Or don't. Just finish on that and then just do it normal.
Don't do it.
No.